matchup in the FCS playoffs. But right now we head to the Revolution Hotline and we talk to our SEC insider from ESPN.com, Edward Ashoff.
Whether you're a Hog fan, a lover of Southern sports, or just someone who wants to know what's going on in the Premier League of College Athletics, snuggle up close to your radio, computer, or phone, because it's time to hear from ESPN.com's SEC insider, Edward Ashoff, who's here to tell you all you need to know about what's up and who's going down in the SEC.
Human beings in a mind.
We welcome back Edward Ashoff. Edward, welcome back. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. How are things this morning?
I did. I'm actually still recovering from the two food comas that I fell in.
That's good.
On Thanksgiving Day. Woke up on a dog. I was so tired.
You woke up what?
On top of my friend's dog. Thought it was a pillow.
Hopefully it's not a pit bull. What was it? Hopefully it wasn't
poodle?
A chihuahua either.
Poodle? What was it?
Chinese
Shar-Pei?
Bigger
dog.
Bigger
I'm not
dog,
sure
okay.
what it was.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure that dog will never forget.
Was it the turkey or the red wine that got you?
It was the turkey. I had a lot of turkey that day.
I respect
so,
that.
So let me ask you this. Has the dog called you since then?
No.
Well, that ain't right.
Playing with my emotions. I know, right?
It's just a little holiday fling. I've been there, Edward. I've been there.
I love it. Edward, we're going to talk about the coaching search, unfortunately, in Arkansas, Tennessee. And,
I am not a candidate.
Although, just to get it on the record, though, in case Jeff Long is listening, you will take the job for $4 million, yes?
Of course, I will. Right. No questions asked.
Okay, good man. But I do want to talk about actual football. We had a contributor on yesterday who not only thought that Georgia would be competitive in the game this weekend against Alabama for the SEC title, but actually picked them to win the game outright this weekend. Do you feel similarly that Georgia can, in fact, knock off Alabama?
I think Georgia can. I did pick Alabama because I just think that when it comes down to it, I just don't like Georgia's offensive line in that matchup against Alabama's defensive line and those linebackers. But the secondary for Alabama is at a disadvantage at this point. I think Georgia can throw the ball around in one of the best passing teams in the country. The second-best passing team in the SEC, well, actually the third-best passing team in the SEC because of Johnny Football over at Texas A&M. But, you know, Aaron Murray's the most efficient passer in the country. He's thrown 30-plus touchdowns this year and has not really turned the ball over lately. And the thing that has really stuck out is since the second half of the Florida game, he's thrown 14 touchdowns, 1,100 yards, no interceptions. They won every game after that by at least 20 points. So I think that Georgia's offense is clicking. They can run the ball. They can be extremely balanced against this Alabama defense. And I just think that, you know, Robert Lester has not played well at all this season. Jason Terry hasn't either. Really, D. Milner has been the only consistent player in that secondary for Alabama, but even he has been burned a couple times. Just look at the Texas A&M game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just not right, Edward. Maybe got a call from the dog.
We'll get him back.
Yeah, we will.
Nuts.
I don't know. I really want to hear more about this. Anyway, there's a couple of questions I do have for him.
Alabama's a 7-point favorite over Georgia, by the way.
I want to ask about the Honey Badger going to the draft.
Yeah.
I know you saw that.
No,
where's it going to end up?
How is that going to?
Well, let me ask you then. The Honey Badger's going to the draft.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a good move for him, or should he show his maturity one more year?
I don't know.
We'll ask Edward later on.
Let's let him finish with his answer here. I guess Big Baby's trying to hook it back up. I don't know what happened there. Did I do something, Big Baby?
No, you never.
Did you try to make
wrong.
A conference call?
No, I didn't try to make a conference call. You try to make a conference call? Sorry about that, Edward. I don't know what happened. I think I did.
Black hole here.
I'm not even in the studio to screw anything up. I don't know what happened. So anyway, you were making your case for Georgia.
I'm not sure where you guys.
We dropped off when you mentioned D. Milner.
D. Milner, yeah, I think that he's been the most consistent guy, but even he's had his issues. You look at the Texas A&M game, and you look at part of the LSU game where Zach Mettenberger was able to throw for almost 300 yards on him. So there's some soft spots in this defense. I think they're going to have to get a lot of pressure on Aaron Murray. But at the same token, that offensive line was basically stitched together during the preseason for Georgia. I just don't think that it's been consistent enough against good teams. Look at the Florida game, best defensive line they've faced all season. Aaron Murray throws three interceptions in the first half. So I think they have the talent to do it, but I really like what Alabama can do as far as balance on offense against, you know, a really good Georgia team.
So I almost am hesitant to ask. I mean, we're all somewhat SEC biased. Alabama, Notre Dame in the title game then. What do you think?
I think that Alabama wins. And I think that Notre Dame's defense is really good, but I was looking at the numbers, and if you look at the pass defense that Notre Dame has, it's 21st in the country. They have one of the best overall statistical defenses, but even with Oklahoma, who is number 5 passing offense, the average, the standing, I guess, for passing offense that Notre Dame has played all season is at 60th. So the competition that Notre Dame has played, obviously, you know, isn't very high. But Alabama and Georgia haven't had the toughest schedules either, but still having to go through the SEC. I just think that Alabama is too well-rounded, and I think that Georgia would be even more well-rounded because they pass the ball so well. I think both teams would be able to beat Notre Dame, and I think it's because both can run the ball really well, both can pass, both have faster defenses than what that offense has seen this entire season. And that offense has been extremely inconsistent, especially at the quarterback spot, and that's not good when you're facing either one of these D's.
Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com, joining us in the Zone on the Revolution Hotline.
So you think they'll be able to keep it within one score, or do you think some people are going to – they think it'll be a blowout?
You know, I think with a team like Alabama, they could just wear somebody down in the second half. I think Georgia has the capability of doing that too, especially with those two young running backs. And if they can get the ball over the top, which I think Aaron Murray would be able to do against that secondary, I think both teams could win by a couple of touchdowns. I just think that the play up front is the biggest thing. Alabama definitely has the advantage there over Notre Dame. I think the offensive line for Georgia would have its hands full, but if they're able to get that play action, which Aaron Murray is spectacular at, I just find it hard to believe that Notre Dame's offense could keep up with either one of these two teams.
Yeah, the offense is tough. When you look at Golson, the quarterback for Notre Dame, you see some flashes of brilliance, and then at times, obviously, they can't move the ball at all. So I don't know if maybe he can catch lightning in a bottle. Johnny Manziel certainly has shown it was more than lightning in the ball what it did to Alabama, but I don't know. Maybe they can dial something up. With Brian Kelly having this much time, they can maybe put together some kind of offensive plan and get a couple scores on the board.
Nick Saban also has time to him as well, and that's the biggest thing. Or Mark Richt. So
yeah, that's true.
That doesn't help.
Edward, Pat had a question about the honey badger.
Yeah.
Who apparently is declaring for the NFL draft, which I didn't realize. I guess it's not shocking, but I just didn't realize it was happening. So I guess your question is what his viability will be, what the expectations are as far as whether or not he'll get drafted, and if so, where?
You know, I think that if he had another season like he had last year, he's a second or third round pick because of his size. I mean, he can make plays out on the field. I don't think he'll ever be a number one or two corner in the NFL because he's not great when it comes to being a coverage guy. Now, he's a good nickel corner. He's a guy who can blitz, force turnovers. He's going to find a place on the field. But I think that immediately he's a guy to use in special teams. He can return punts, return kicks. He can be a gunner on special teams, trying to force turnovers, trying to block kicks. I think right now that's where he is the most valuable.
You think he could play on the offensive side ever? Not running punts, but actually be on the offensive unit as a receiver.
I don't know if he could ever be. I don't know if he could be a running back, obviously because of his size, but maybe a Chris Rainey role in the slot on some certain plays. But I think that his home is on defense, just because he is so disruptive, and I think that he's a guy who could be a world class returner on special teams.
Well, I just look at a guy like him. He's got such great hands and such great instincts, and then I look at how. Wes Welker and Tom Brady work together, and it almost seems like it's just an instinct, an unspoken ability those guys have. And I know the Honey Badger is a small-statured guy, but just those hands and instincts, they have to translate in some kind of success in the NFL.
You just have to wonder, though, if Tom Brady is chucking one of those passes his way, can he catch it consistently? I think it's a little deep. It's a little different when you're getting only a few passes thrown your way on the defensive side, and you get an interception here and there, but I just don't know if he's someone that you can get to regularly on offense. But put the ball in his hands, he can make special things happen. Maybe just toss it to him. There's something really soft.
who do you think is the most draftable prospect on the Arkansas team? I guess it would come down to either Tyler Wilson or Kobe Hamilton, probably.
I think that's tough because you go in the season thinking Tyler Wilson's a surefire first-round draft pick. He had all the intangibles. He's a smart guy. He's a big-time arm. But Kobe Hamilton has really, really come along this season. Is he a first-round guy? I'm not sure. I think he doesn't exactly have the explosiveness of a Justin Hunter, and he's not as elusive as Cordarrelle Patterson, two guys who could go in the first round if they decide to leave Tennessee. But I still think that Tyler Wilson is a guy who a lot of teams want, who are really interested in him. He did throw a lot of interceptions, but look at what he had last year compared to this year. Didn't have the consistency at wide receiver. The offensive line didn't play as well. They didn't have as much of a running game this year either. I still think that he's a prototypical quarterback for the NFL. Great technique, great mechanics. I still think he's the highest player drafted at Arkansas, but I wouldn't be surprised if Kobe Hamilton went ahead of him or went pretty high in the draft.
Okay. I've avoided as long as I can. I would rather stick my arm in a wood chipper than go into the coaching search again, but here we go. Let's start with something. We'll end with Arkansas, so let's go Tennessee first. There was the crazy story about Tennessee offering all kinds of stuff to John Gruden, including a piece of the Cleveland Browns, which I don't even think would be legal. I don't even think I can't imagine the NCAA would be like, yeah, you can own part of an NFL team and be a college coach in the SEC. That's totally fine. But let's get realistic. Who do you think is a strong candidate there? What's the talk? What are you guys hearing in the ESPN circles?
Tennessee's actually been relatively quiet outside of all the John Gruden mess that we hear constantly. And it's funny how John Gruden is the talk of the town there in Tennessee. He's denying it. Tennessee obviously isn't saying anything. I still think that he's the guy that Tennessee would love to have. He has the connection to Knoxville. His wife went there. He's a grad assistant there. He has land in East Tennessee. But, he's been pretty adamant about how happy he is with Monday Night Football. So unless things change there, I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm leaning away from it, but everybody in Knoxville – it's kind of going there. I think that Charlie Strong, obviously the report about him and Auburn talking and him refuting that has come out, but I think that SEC teams are going to look at him. Now, Louisville going to the ACC could hurt that because now you're in a bigger BCS conference and a chance at the national championship in an area that he can recruit. He can recruit the South, and so right. He feels, hey, I don't have to look up to anybody really in the ACC compared to the SEC. Maybe staying with Louisville is a better option, but Art Briles is obviously a guy who's been connected to Arkansas, even Auburn. You would think that maybe Tennessee makes a run because of how well he's coached offensively, but those Baylor defenses, not so great. And I wonder if you take a chance on that considering how bad Tennessee's defense has been lately. But, Gary Patterson is a guy who's come up, obviously. And Jimbo Fisher, hearing earlier today that's a name that maybe Tennessee would be interested in, but
I'm sure they're interested. Does that make any sense for them at all?
But listen, if the ACC keeps getting snubbed, if Florida State had won that game over Florida, do they even have a chance at the national championship? No. So maybe Jimbo Fisher thinks, well, it's not working out here. And, hey, his defensive coordinator just left to coach Kentucky. So, I think the SEC is attracted to him, and I think Auburn is as well. If Tennessee comes calling, I still think that that's the best job open in the SEC because you can recruit the Southeast and you're not really looking up at anybody in the long term because it's been too inconsistent lately. You have Texas A&M, LSU, and Alabama, who I think that Arkansas and Auburn are going to have to look at for a while. I think Florida and Georgia stay consistent, but who knows what South Carolina is going to do? Who knows what Vanderbilt's going to do? I think the East right now is where you want to land.
Yeah, my thing is with Jimbo Fisher, all you had to do was not blow a lead, a 16-point halftime lead, to a very marginal NC State team. That to me is, that's inexcusable. So that's why you're 10th. It's not because you can't compete for a national title. All you got to do is beat the teams you're supposed to beat. That's a game you can't lose, and you're in the conversation, and you have a chance to win it if you beat Florida. So that's on them. To me, you got a chance. Florida State has the reputation. They are one of those schools. They get automatic credit that most schools don't get the same way Notre Dame does every year, although Notre Dame obviously deserves it this year. So to me, leaving there to go to a school like that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. What do you think the viability is for Petrino? What are you hearing in your conversations with folks there? We talked to a guy yesterday who is a sports writer and also is an Auburn grad, and he seemed to think Petrino was a viable possibility there. Do you think that's a chance they take? I did just see a report, too, that came across that Colorado has said adamantly they are not interested in Bobby Petrino, will not seek him as a head coach, although I think that's a good fit for both people there, but whatever.
I stand by what I've said all year. I think that what happened at Arkansas is a black eye, and I just don't think that any SEC team is willing to put him as the face of the program. I know that he's been connected to Auburn. I've gotten the emails about the press conference that's going to happen Friday to announce him and all that and all the rumors and everything, but I just don't see the SEC going for it. I don't think any president out there right now wants him to be the head coach. I wouldn't be surprised if he's an offensive coordinator somewhere in the SEC. I don't think that'll happen either, but that wouldn't shock me. It would shock me if any program decided to hire him right now. I think it's going to take a while before, you know, people really trust him. They want to see what he does in another program, how he acts off the field. I mean, outside of the way he embarrassingly left Arkansas, look at the way he's left Louisville, how he was up for a job at Auburn while the coach was still there, how he left Atlanta, obviously, is his most popular, quote-unquote popular, exit from a team. Maybe not anymore because of what happened in Arkansas, but he's not been the most reliable guy. And I think that a lot of SEC programs see that and don't want to take a chance on that because if something happens, you're the laughing stock of the SEC for taking a chance on. Now, he's a great football mind, but don't get me wrong. He's been a phenomenal coach, did great things at Arkansas, turned that program into a top 10, top 15 program. But is he worth the headache right now? I don't think so. And I think that SEC presidents understand that and don't want to take the chance right now. There are plenty of other viable options.
My thing is, you've got Bobby Petrino in a great position if you're an AD right now, because he will agree to almost anything if you're a good school and a good program, I would think. You can get an ironclad agreement in place where if he does anything out of line, you don't have to pay him. My thing is, and we've seen it too many times recently, Edward, is that money rules everything. Maryland has no business in the Big Ten. Rutgers has no business in the Big Ten. It's all about the money. Wins equal money. Bobby Petrino equals wins. And, yes, he comes with a very calculated risk there, but he will win you games. There is no question about that.
I think he will, but I do think that the honor code is going to take over in the SEC. I'm not saying he won't ever be back, but I don't think he'll be back in the next couple of weeks.
All right. One last thing. Kentucky and Stoops. To me, horrific combination. You know, if Kentucky threw a ton of money at Art Briles, I think that makes perfect sense. I mean, that's a guy that can run a spread attack. He can do some unique things offensively, and you can try to outscore people. Trying to win with defense at Kentucky just seems about as crazy a concept as I can come up with. Because you know what defense means? You got to have athletes, and you can scheme all day long, but you got to have the players back there. I'm just not sure he can get them. Is that going to work?
I wrote earlier this week that I think it's a good hire because of that, because of defense. And, you know, I've taken some flack for it because of that exact thing. You know, can they recruit the same kind of athletes on defense? You know, the answer is they can't. But at the same token, they went offensive for a while. It worked under Rich Brooks. Obviously, they go to 5 straight bowl games. You know, but Joker Phillips was the guy who was the offensive coordinator, knew what was going on. He takes over, and it just falls off. I think, you know, finding those Randall Cobbs is going to be harder now because of what Vanderbilt's doing. James Franklin is finding those guys. I think you go defensive first. You can get those gems on offense. I think that they're going to be able to do that, but you have to start with defense in the SEC. Will Muschamp's a great example of that. Obviously, they're not going to get the same guys Florida gets.
Right.
But at the same time, I think with a program like that that's been so bad on defense the last few years, start from the ground up on that way. You know, try to grind out some wins. Because Florida's a great example. Their offense has been extremely inconsistent. Kentucky has some players there. If Josh Clemens comes back, I think he can be a top running back in the SEC with his talent. And he's got to get over his injury. But if you can build off him, have a running game, get some offensive linemen in there, you have a good defense, you know, you can win some games. So I think it's a good move. I like the move. At first I didn't, but I think it's a good move for him.
I will predict that he never goes to a bowl game. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say he never goes to a bowl game. One thing we're talking about, too, is, you talk about like a guy like Briles who has serious questions defensively. I'm curious to see if they'll pull up some combo deal, you know, where you say, okay, look, you come in, we'll pay you $3 million a year, which is a nice raise over what you're making at Baylor. I assume. And then you go get, you know, especially if you're going to like a Tennessee or something, you go get a guy like Chavis and say, well, they'll pay him $1.5 million or whatever. You know, you give him a substantial raise at DC or whatever. So I'm curious if they'll do something combination like that, you know, because there are some really good defensive guys. I mean, even Chizik. I mean, Chizik's unquestionably a good defensive coordinator, just not a good head coach. And that's a guy who could combo up with a guy who's an excellent offensive coach. Look, he won a national title with Gus Malzahn, who's clearly a great offensive coach. He can be a good defensive coordinator. He's just not a good head coach. So I'm curious to see if something like that happens, too. And you got a guy like Mark Mangino, who's been sitting around since leaving Kansas, which amazes me. Clearly a great coach. I mean, he's a guy that could be brought in, I would think, as an offensive guy with a defensive head coach. I mean, there's a lot of interesting possibilities out there.
Yeah, how funny would it be, though, if it ended up being Auburn taking Gus Malzahn, or anybody taking Gus Malzahn, and then Gus saying, hey, Gene, how would you like being my defensive coordinator? Sure, yeah. That would be a great conversation. I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, I think if those two wanted to work together, they would have still been working together, I think, at Auburn. So,
yeah, exactly.
Anyway. Edward, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again, and take care.
Will do.
All right, follow Edward's work on ESPN.com. The SEC blog is a...
I'll tell you one thing, Justin.
A go-to every morning for me. Yes, sir.
If your boy Gene Chizik could do it over, he'd still be working with Gus Malzahn.
I guarantee you. I love this song. Good get, big baby.
I know you do.
Got some emails, and we're going to talk to Chris Peterson, UALR head coach, not the Boise State football head coach, about a number of things, including